Con Show rolls on. Here until 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Mary Schiavo, former Department of Transportation Inspector General, talking about the air traffic control workers at Midway Airport who have tested positive for COVID. What do they do about that? We've got all kinds of questions and answers. Also, New York City this hour, the New York City residents are being told that they should prepare to shelter in place. We'll talk to the folks there about that. And we will also we'll play Stump the Chef. Despite how this goes, we do have Stump the Chef, and we will play it. We already have our contestant, and we will. And that, if you've not heard that yet, that's where people call. They have we have one winner already, one contestant, I should say, who has now been able to avail himself of a Lou Malnati's gift card for $25 by being caller number 19 to us about 30 minutes ago. He has given three different ingredients that he has in his kitchen or her kitchen. And now we will have a great chef from Chicago. Joe Farina from the Victory Restaurants in Chicago is going to take those three ingredients and whip them into something amazing and give that recipe over the air. Maybe you have the same ingredients at your home. It's just a concept that we're working on, because we still have to have, we still have to eat, and we still have to have fun in the middle of all this. Now, one of the big stories today is, what is the County of Cook doing with their inmates? What's the sheriff going to do with the inmates? Because there have been a lot of people who have been arguing that they should let people out of the jails here because of the COVID-19. And there are people who are older there. There are some pregnant women there. Question is, what do you do? Sheriff Tom Dart is joining us right now to talk about that. And, well, I guess, Sheriff, what are you going to do?
Hello.
What is it? Hello, Tom. What is the plan? I'm sorry. Am I waking you up? The plan is for the jail.
We've been working on this since January, when this first started hitting in China. Before even the first of the year, we started working on it because we sort of knew that there's a possibility of becoming this way, and that jails and prisons are locations that can potentially get hit really, really hard by pandemics. And so since early January, mid-January, we've been not testing, but we've been screening everybody who's come into the jail for the coronavirus, and we've been working hand in hand with the medical providers there to do that. And since that point, we've been we've been ramping it up every day and attempting to see if there are some best practices we could find from elsewhere in the country, and there are none. Apparently, we're sort of leading the charge in some regards in a lot of that.
And what decisions are you making there? Are there inmates in isolation?
No. What we've done is this row is so. I was wandering around Division 6 and 10 yesterday, talking with our folks. You know, our staff's doing they're really just amazing. I mean, we've had virtually no call offs. You know, people aren't calling in sick. They aren't calling anything. They're showing up for work in the normal amount, and the morale's phenomenal. And I talked to some of the detainees too, and they seem to have an understanding of what's going on. And so what we've done is we've tried to keep some things going on as usual while still trying to quarantine, not people because they have symptoms, but just to keep people from commingling. And obviously the biggest problem we have is that I get, on average, about 100 new people a day coming off the street into the jail. So what I did is a week or so ago, I set up this staggered type of housing. So it's a staggered housing where people come in on, say, Monday. Those folks all live together for the next 14 days. I think 12 days is the most I could do. They live together, and then Tuesday's cohort comes in. They all live together for 12 days and so on and so forth. And then as they get to the end of that period, if they're showing no signs of any issues, no symptoms, then they can go into general population. The thing that complicates the heck out of this, though, is because the courts have stopped, if I don't have people leaving in the traditional amount that they normally would through plea agreements and things like that, I will no longer have the space to be able to stagger people like that, and then that will be a huge, huge problem. And I've made it clear, we've talked with the judiciary, we've talked with the state's attorney and the other players in the system, and everyone's working together, they are, and trying to deal with this, but I was trying to let everyone know that it's all good and fine to cancel juries and the like, but juries represent 0.01% of the system. The majority of the system, as far as moving cases along, are through plea agreements, and those need to continue. Otherwise, we'll have a catastrophe on our hands.
So the judges have taken 30 days off here. The Chief Judge Tim Evans called everybody off, the judges, to go home and do legal research for 30 days. And that's screwing up bond court. That's dumping about 100 people into the jail a day. And without any kind of recourse about being able to send nonviolent people out or whatever the things that are, you know, important in all this. And it's so funny, but, you know, we've got the state's attorney's race that's going on today. And all the issues that have been in that state's attorney's race are crumbling down as it's pertaining to what the COVID-19 has done.
Oh, exactly. I mean, just to be honest with you, Ro, so I have a pretty large police department and a police force that traditionally used to be on the suburban areas, but now we do a full-time patrol on the west side of the city of Chicago because of the violence there. We were just having a conversation moments ago because a large percentage of all law enforcement cases, as far as when you take someone in custody, is because, say, you pulled someone over because of a traffic violation, and either that person or someone in the car has a warrant for their arrest. Well, that person's taken in custody. If you look at the types of warrants, though, many of them, the majority of them, are for traffic cases. You know, if you're driving on a suspended license, you didn't show up for court, so you had a warrant out for your arrest. Right. We were having the conversation just an hour ago about what should we do there, because when we take that person in custody, not only are my officers now in jeopardy because they have this person that is in their squad car
with
them.
That person. What did you guys decide to do? I got about 10
seconds. We're having conversations with the state's attorney's office. They've been very helpful. The judges have been very helpful. They got a new bond court structure set up that's moving along. The plea part of it, we're still trying to work that one through as well, but they have some people that are going to be on call. We're just really feeling our way through, but I just had to drive home to people. It's like, we cannot have this system stop. Otherwise, you're just going to have people piling up in jails. And I'm not trying to say mine's the worst, but in prisons, at least it's a static population. My population is traditionally coming and going. They're in there for right. 3 days, 4 days, and so on. So it's very difficult, and that's why I can't emphasize enough. My staff has been amazing.
Tom Dart, Cook County Sheriff. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank
your time.
You.